Let's pray together as we turn our attention to the sermon text for the day. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you are good and that you are God and that you are loving. Help us, Lord, in this time to focus our thoughts on you and on what your word is saying to us this day, that we might be changed and encouraged and challenged for the life that you have for us to live. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen this day. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, I will read our sermon text from Luke chapter 24. But first, I'd like to invite you to listen to this story on two different levels. The first level of listening is listening to the events of the story, the story itself, and what the story is doing and what events are taking place in it. This is the story of two disciples of Jesus as they are walking from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. It's called the Road to Emmaus or the Journey to Emmaus or something along those lines. And these two disciples, this is taking place on Easter Sunday, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And these two disciples do not yet know that Jesus is alive. And yet they meet him. But they don't realize that it's him. It's a marvelous mystery that they see him and he walks along with them on the road, but they don't recognize him at first. So, first level of listening is to listen to the events of the story. The second level of listening that I'd like you to do at the same time that you hear this all read at once is on the level of the structure of the story. Those of you who know me know that I love the structure of these kinds of stories. And when there's a good structure to the story, it's worth bringing out because it adds to our reading of the text. And the structure of this particular story is one that many Bible stories have in common. It's a structure called chiastic structure. That's C-H-I-A-S-T-I-C, chiastic. And what it means is, in a chiastic structure, a story that's told in that fashion, there's a development of themes or ideas that progress in one direction until halfway through the story. And then at the turning point of the story, the same themes and ideas are repeated, but in the opposite order. So it's like you go A, B, C, D, E, and then go E, D, C, B, A. I had to think about that. A lot easier to say the alphabet forward, isn't it? But when a story is told in this way, what it does is it emphasizes that turning point, the point at which the story turns and moves back to the beginning. That's how many Bible stories function, and this one is no different. This kind of structure is not unique to the Bible. It's found in ancient Greek literature. It's found in the Quran. It's even found in popular speeches. President John F. Kennedy once said, ask not, you know how this goes? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country, right? It's a very simple, very short example of a chiastic saying. A, B, B, A. So, with all of that in mind, I would like to read this story aloud with the help of six volunteers. I have little cards for you to hold and raise in front of the people, and they look like this. They're very light and easy to hold, so this is not going to be Angela. I know you've been itching for this moment. Come on up and help out. I need five other people. I'll give you this one right here, okay? And hold it just like that with the arrow facing up. I need five other people. There we go, Jeremy. Thank you very much. Angela, hold yours like face down like that, and you head all the way to the left. You're on the very end. Jeremy, I'll give you this one, and just to be confusing, you can go all the way to that end. Very good. Yeah, yeah. And, all right, not everybody all at once. I only have so many hands, you know. Ron, come on, right on over here. Very good. You're going to hold it just like this with the arrow facing out. Tara, very good. Dave, you're number three next to Ron. David, you're number four. And I need one. You think I'm going to be the fifth, right? No, no, the sixth. I need one more person because I got to do the reading. Thank you, Don. Very good. Very good. Excellent. Stay right there. You've got it. All in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You've got the, yep. And your cue is to raise your card like that. There are words on the bottom that you can't see, but the words are printed there that you can see. And you're going to hold them right up in front of the people. So you just lift it, whoop, just up like that, when I tap you on the shoulder. Okay? And you just stay there. Stay holding it up for the rest of the reading. Any questions? All right. This is so exciting. Okay. Here are these words from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, this is the third day since all of this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive." Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" So they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then these two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you all, helpers, for helping so well. Very good. You can just lay them right there on the pews. Perfect. And you can return to your seats. Thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. The one point of that story and the one point of this sermon is what Angela was holding. Jesus is alive. The one point of the story of the disciples. Whoa, that was really loud. Sorry. Wow. Going on the road to Emmaus is that Jesus is alive. If there's one thing to take away from this reading of the story, it's that Jesus is alive. That is a truth that we often talk about and celebrate and rejoice, but take for granted. It's one thing for us to believe that Jesus is alive. It's another thing for us to experience that as a reality, like these two disciples did on the road to Emmaus. So often we think of Jesus being alive as something that happened historically, and we relegate it to the bookshelf of history to say, at one point in the past, Jesus came back to life, which is true, but we leave that fact on the bookshelf along with all of the other collected ideas and facts and things that we've learned over the years. It's a piece of information for us to know, not a reality for us to experience. To that end, I think we have something in common with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They had heard a lot about Jesus. They were disciples of Jesus. They knew a lot about him. They knew his teachings. They had seen his miracles. They had known about his betrayal and his arrest, his crucifixion. And even on this Easter Sunday, they had heard rumors that his tomb was empty and that he was alive. But up to this point, they had not experienced that as a reality in their own lives. They knew all of the right things. But until this point, they had not experienced the reality of relationship with this living king. I think that is true of a lot of people today, a lot of Christians today. We know a lot about Jesus. We know a lot of Bible stories. We can tell details about his life and his ministry, his death and resurrection. But we may not have yet experienced the reality of relationship with this living king. The hero of this story is not Cleopas or his companion, the two disciples. No, the hero of the story, of course, is Jesus, the one who is alive, the one who joins these two, not just as a historical person, but as a real person to engage with them. The hero of the story is the one who walks up to a couple of people that don't recognize him and engages in a spiritual conversation with them. What's amazing about this encounter is that Jesus does not just pull back the curtain and say, "Here I am, look at my hands, look at my feet, look at my side." He said that on other occasions to others of his disciples, but not here. He let the mystery ride for a little bit longer. He entered into their conversation. Without forcing it in any particular direction, he just joined these two disciples and was sensitive to what God was doing in them. In the past several weeks, we've been thinking about this idea of God space, that space within us and around us in which God is working in the lives of us and in the lives of those around us. And we've been looking at this as a way of thinking about the idea of evangelism, the task that all of us have of sharing the good news of Jesus with other people around us and telling others about who Jesus is. But the funny thing about this idea of God space is that telling is not the central act that we have to accomplish. In fact, up to this point, we haven't really been asked to say anything. In our investigation into this idea of God space, it's all been about what God is doing in someone else's life. First, we thought about the idea of noticing what God was doing in someone else's life. Just noticing what God is up to. And then the second idea was to serve. Just serving someone with no other agenda but to be a blessing to this person as a means of opening up a conversation with someone without any other hidden agenda but just to serve and to become a friend of. And then last week we looked at the idea of listening. Listening deeply to someone else's needs, concerns, where they are, the questions, the fears, the doubts, the anger they have, just to listen. God space is all about paying special attention to what God is doing in someone else's life and then joining in conversation with them. Up to this point, we haven't had to say anything to the people that we've been noticing or serving or listening. Today, we turn a small corner where we begin to actually speak to people. And the idea here is wondering. It's all about asking questions, not about saying this is the path to salvation or this is who Jesus is. It's just about asking questions, because we've been noticing and serving and listening to people, and now we get to wonder with them. I wonder what God is doing in your life. The term here is wondering, because the questions that we can ask of people are very easy to start with the words, I wonder. I wonder, how did you arrive at that belief? I wonder, what role has religion played in your life? Or I wonder, what do you think you'd have to give up in order to become a Christian? Or I wonder, why does it seem like the topic of God stirs up such strong emotions in you? Very simple, wondering questions that open the doors for deeper conversation and mutual reflection. Real, honest wondering helps us become more sensitive to other people and to God Himself, who is already at work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. It's this very kind of wondering that Jesus practices in this story from Luke 24. As he joins these two disciples on their journey to Emmaus, he wonders with them. I wonder, what are you discussing together as you walk along? I wonder what things have happened in Jerusalem lately. You see, this is full of dramatic irony. We know that Jesus knows exactly what has happened in Jerusalem. It's been about him. It's been his death and his resurrection. He doesn't need to know the answer to the question. He already lives the answer to that question. And we as readers know that he knows. The only people who are in the dark are Cleopas and his companion, who is unnamed. These two disciples who have not yet realized that Jesus is alive. This is pure irony. And Jesus relishes it and asks, I wonder what things you're talking about. Because he really wants to know what they are thinking. He really wants to know what they are experiencing. They tell him all of the sad story of Jesus' betrayal and arrest, and their hopes had been dashed. And now the question of where he is, the mystery of the empty tomb. They don't know what to make of that key, crucial point that Jesus is alive, that central feature of this story. It's not until Jesus sits down at a table with them and shares a meal with them that things become clear. Just as he had shared a meal with his disciples just a few days before, what we call the Lord's Supper, and just like the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus had fed a crowd of 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fish sometime before that, Jesus took bread with these two disciples and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And it was something in that transaction, something in that shared fellowship, that pointed these two disciples to the reality of who it was who was in their presence. In that moment, they realized what we as the readers already know, that Jesus is, in fact, alive. Sometimes, in our lives, we need to realize that Jesus is alive. Sometimes in our lives, we need to realize that Jesus is showing up with us on the journey that we're on, and that he wants to get to know us and to hear what our hearts are concerned about. There are moments in our lives, each of us, when we really need to have Jesus walk right alongside us. And sometimes there are moments in our lives when we are called to do the showing up in other people's lives, to be the hands and feet of Jesus who walk alongside somebody who's struggling, to get to know them, to wonder with them about the amazing truth that Jesus is alive. You see, there are two sides to the Christian life. There are two sort of phases, two different dimensions to what we do as followers of Jesus. We grow as disciples and we grow as servants. We become closer to Jesus and we become closer to those around us. And all of it is for the sake of God's kingdom. This is tied up in our vision as a congregation. What's printed every week in your worship folder, what's on display above the entrances and exits to this building on both ends, our vision as a congregation is this: we will intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. Sometimes we need to grow as disciples of Jesus. Sometimes we need to grow as servants in our community. But all of it is tied up in engaging with the kingdom of God as it breaks into this world, and engaging with this tremendous king who is alive. Your action step this week, your homework, such as it is to continue the work of noticing and serving and listening others, growing in your sensitivity to the God space that other people are experiencing, but specifically now this week. Find one person in your world that you notice God is working in, or that you have an opportunity to serve, or someone that you can listen to, someone that you can engage in a spiritual conversation and wonder with them. Just ask a very simple wondering question, something prompted by what they're saying or what they're experiencing. I wonder what this is like for you, or I wonder where you see God at work in this, or I wonder what this change in your employment situation means for you, and see where the conversation goes. Because sometimes Jesus himself shows up alongside us on the journey to Emmaus, and we just don't realize that it's him until we sit down and share a meal, spend time together, and begin to discuss deeply the important questions and issues that are affecting us. Find someone in your world this week that you can wonder with, and ask a wondering question of, just to see where the conversation goes. To help with that, I have some ideas. Well, they're not my ideas. These are ideas that come from the book called God's Space, written by Doug Pollack. And in part of this book, I have probably somewhat illegally made photocopies for you. I don't think he would mind, though. His other materials are free to reproduce. In any case, in his book, he has 99 wondering questions. He's assembled 99, three questions in each of 33 different categories of life. And I've got copies for everyone here. So I'd like for you to take these with you and read them and think about them. And in fact, I'll just pass a bunch here and a bunch there, and perhaps these can get around. And if you have extras, that's wonderful. If you don't have extras, that's wonderful too. We have enough for everybody. There you go. Wondering questions that can prompt conversations and help people around you to express themselves and what they're thinking and what they're experiencing, perhaps in a significant way. These are conversation starters that you may be able to use. Let's see how far these go. I made 70 copies, so there should be plenty. Did we get all around? Okay, two more. Angie, very good. Yep. Kevin, I've got one here. There we go. Anybody not get their hands on one yet? Wonderful. These are 99 wondering questions that you can use, that you can practice, that you can adapt and modify, and perhaps they can be useful for you as you engage in the task of wondering with people about the space in which God is moving in their own lives. Let's pray together as we draw to a close here. O Lord, our God, we give you thanks for drawing near to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his traveling companion. We give you thanks for revealing your identity as the living King, the risen Savior, to those two in the context of a relationship, a conversation, time of sharing deep concerns. Lord, draw near to us. There are many of us, even gathered here today, who need you to walk alongside us at this point in our lives. And Lord, use us as you see fit to draw near to those around us, for surely as we need you, the people in our community, the people in our world, the people in our neighborhood need you as well. Help us to become your hands and feet, to serve with gratitude and with humility, as only you can help us to do. Help us to wonder and to live in a state of wonder about how good you are, how gracious you are in our lives. Give us strength for each day's journey, and may we find you around every corner. We pray this all in Jesus' holy and precious name. And all of God's people said, amen.